Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we'll be taking a deep dive into Aquis listed Majestic Corporation. We're going to be touching on recent numbers. We're going to be looking at a number of key developments for the company in recent months. And we're also going to be looking at the outlook for the rest of 2026. And to do that, we're very kindly joined once more by Crystal Lay, who is the Head of Communications at Majestic Corporation. Crystal, very much welcoming you back to the podcast today. So we had a couple of really insightful conversations at the beginning of this year. We were looking at AI and how that feeds into the critical minerals recycling supply chain. So anybody wants to know a little bit more about that, you know, do check out that podcast as well. But this podcast, Crystal, we're going to be focusing on recent numbers. You have some very good annual results that came out recently, and there's also quite a lot happening on the ground. But before we get stuck into it, please could you give us a brief introduction, first of all, to yourself, Crystal, as well as Majestic Corporation, for those that may not be aware, please.
So, Crystal, Head of Communications at Majestic Corporation. Majestic Corporation is a global urban miner founded in 2018, listed on the Aquis Exchange in London in 2022. And now also traded on the OTCQB in the US. So instead of mining materials from the ground, we source end-of-life industrial and consumer products such as e-waste, solar panels, catalytic converters, battery production scrap, aggregate these, process them, and alongside our customers, return the recovered metals into global supply chains.
Okay, and we're going to be talking about what you've been doing over in Wales, your new plant in Wrexham, for that processing a little bit later on the podcast. But let's start now, Crystal, if we may. As I said, you've had your results out recently. What were the key highlights there?
So revenue for 2025 normalised to 38.2 million, with every other profitability metric improving. Gross profit rose from 2.1 million to 3.5 million, and our net profit was up to 1.35 million. Like we announced with the results, based on our current outlook, we expect 2026 profit before tax to significantly increase.
Perfect. So just want to pick up on the revenue there, because it's actually really interesting looking at the results. Yes, revenues were down, but profits are actually up, and we'll drill down into that in a little bit more detail. But what was the driving factor between, you know, on the top line and a little bit of a dip that we saw there?
Yeah, so revenue normalised because of three key things. 2024 was an aggressive year of expansion for us. Our revenue reflected that, with 2024's revenue increasing over 66%. So going into 2025, with that market position established, the focus then shifted to profitability, hence why our net profit for 2025 was up 53%. The second reason is because of some permitting delays we ran into, which held back volume. And the third was because of a deliberate trading decision in the third quarter of 2025, which was to continue accumulating and holding inventory in anticipation of rising commodity prices because of tariff uncertainty. And we finished the year holding nearly 20 million in inventory, up from the year before by around 20%. So a bit more insight into that. While the rest of the world was shipping LME metal to COMEX to chase a quick premium, we held back and built inventory and then started shipping again in the late fourth quarter, because ultimately we had the strategic insight as well as the cash position to do so. Now, bear in mind, this inventory isn't aging stock. Most of it has already been committed by our customers.
That's really interesting. So you're actually taking a view on some of the metals that you hold, and actually that's quite a significant increase in the value, because that's obviously then flowing through into the balance sheet, as people will see if they check out the results. Looking at the profitability side of things, as I said, really interesting that you know, through the decisions that you made, there was slightly lower revenue, but you did see a higher margin despite those lower revenues. What was the key factors behind this? What were you seeing happening there to boost those margins? And is that a sign of things to come for Majestic?
Yeah, so profits were higher for two main reasons. One is selectivity. The market share we built in 2024, like I said, meant we had the brand awareness and ability to choose margin over volume in 2025. The second reason is because of discipline, specifically tighter cost control and inventory management. So whether this is a sign for things to come, yes, because these are structural changes that we made, not one-offs.
That's really interesting here. So I think when investors are looking at Majestic, there's a number of key factors to look at here. Of course, people will straight away look at the revenue, but I think it's important from what you said to underscore that there's this inventory, strategic inventory in the background, which does set you up for 2026. And as you said, and it was noted in the release, I see that you do expect significantly higher profits again in this year. So what are the key factors here from a sort of macro perspective, Crystal? You know, what are the opportunities that you're seeing out there in the market at the moment?
So, and we'll have to probably get into these in more detail later on, but three major forces. One is AI. Data centers are building literally filled with metal, copper in the power systems, gold and palladium on every board, and it refreshes every 3 to 5 years. We're on both sides of that trade. AI drives up huge demand for our stock, and then also quickly, I say quickly because of the short life cycles, hands us the equipment to process into raw materials and reinject back into the supply chain. Electrification, the second force, and a very similar story. The whole economy is being rewired. Cars, grids, heating, factories, every step swaps fuel for metal. Demand as per is at a rate that mining can't match. Specifically, a new mine can take over a decade to come online. Recycling, on the other hand, takes 2 to 3 years for a new site to come online, and then it can return materials back into the supply chain in months, if not weeks. And again, it feeds us on the other side too. Everything installed today comes back to us as feedstock. Now, a third driving force is supply chain security. Tariffs, stockpiling, export controls. Governments are scrambling about securing critical minerals for themselves first and then sending it to allies. Urban mining is that domestic answer. All the metal is already on shore. So these three forces just lead to one conclusion, which is that the world needs more critical materials than mining can deliver alone. And with recycling, the metal is already on shore. It's already above the ground. And so the sad reality of that is a lot of that is still going to landfill, but that's a separate story in itself.
Yes, and as I said, we spoke at the beginning of this year, and I'm sure that we'll speak later on in this year, and there's a number of really interesting factors that you just picked up on there, which, you know, probably deserves its own conversation, because, you know, looking at the rewiring of the economy, as you mentioned, you know, that's a really interesting factor that I think not many people think about. And of course, AI, it's moving forward at rapid rates. And, you know, as you say, the life cycles are actually relatively short for some of these chips, you know, 3 to 5 years. That really provides, as you say, both sides of the trade in terms of the input and the offtake going forward. So certainly something that we'll pick up. What I want to pick up now, though, Crystal, is the strategic inventory, because that's really interesting. You know, when you're looking at your strategic inventory, do you take a view on certain metals? Are there certain metals that you have in your strategic inventory, certain metals that you might not consider as part of your strategic inventory? And, you know, do you take an investment view on some of these metals? And how's the sort of pace of trading of these metals changed as well over the last couple of years?
So quite a few questions there. Our inventory is effectively our market intelligence expressed on our balance sheet. So we accumulate and we wind down based on our market read. This read has been built on for more than two decades of proprietary data, and it includes pricing, includes recovery rates, and includes material composition. And it's been collected since our founders started in this industry and embedded it into how the company buys today. So in terms of what we hold, obviously I won't provide a breakdown, but what I can say is that majority of it has been officially designated critical minerals by governments worldwide. Again, because the world is so short of this material, hence the demand, we can very quickly convert this to cash too.
Moving on now, Crystal, there's been a number of announcements from Majestic over the last year, starting in the middle of last year, about your new Wrexham plant. I understand it's 50,000 square foot, which is a big uptick on the existing facility that you had in Deeside, which I believe is around 4,000. So, you know, 10 times, more than 10 times the size there. What's actually happening there? What types of processes are you carrying out on a recycling basis, and how's that slightly different to what you were doing at Deeside?
Yeah, so in order to answer where Wrexham sits in the wider strategy for the company, you can think of the market and the business we operate in three layers. First, there's the upstream layer. So in other words, this is sourcing. This is securing material and feedstock from around the UK. And this is where our long-standing supplier relationships, some of which are exclusive, and our proprietary data do a lot of the work. Then the next layer is midstream. So this, in other words, is material preparation. The layer that involves physical handling, collecting, sorting, aggregating, sampling, grading, all of that. This is where Majestic has historically operated. Now, the last layer is downstream, which in other words is upgrading material. This is where Wrexham takes us. Building on that midstream phase, transforming our material into even higher grade, more end user ready finished goods. So our customers have the highest value captured and delivered to them. And this improved product will be reflected in our bottom line going forward. So today we operate across all three of these layers in a hyper-compliant manner. And with Wrexham, we also have the blueprint to replicate this downstream piece site by site. So the other thing Wrexham does for us, and I think this is important to mention and you touched on before, aside from the deeper downstream integration and aside from this facility providing us a blueprint on how to replicate and scale, it also provides us with a sandbox for new technology to deploy to maximize efficiency. So what I mean by that is AI sorting, automation, robotics. And we've actually recently started an in-house R&D department to drive innovation forward here.
Is that something, I mean, just looking at a summary here, in terms of building up that technological capabilities there, you know, bringing everything together now, what can investors expect to see from Majestic in the year ahead? And maybe if you can touch on a little bit more detail, the profits, bringing together strategic inventory, you know, what you're doing on technology front, and what investors can expect in the year ahead from Majestic.
So with Wrexham commissioned and ramping, we're able to vertically integrate, which means supply secured upstream, cleaner, high-grade product going out the door, and a product that commands a higher value from our customers. Then we can replicate it, same blueprint across more locations. And like we announced with the 2025 results, based on our current outlook, we expect 2026 profit before tax to significantly increase.
Fantastic, thank you. And you may not be able to share this, Crystal, but I'm sure this will be a question that investors would be interested in knowing. You know, in terms of the expansion, is it UK? Are you looking at more plants in the UK? Is it Europe? Is it Asia? Is it United States? Have you got any sense of where that could be going?
I would just say stay tuned, but localization is a big part of our strategy because of what I mentioned earlier, which is the resource nationalism.
As you say, I'm sure there's going to be announcements that come from Majestic in the coming months. So Crystal, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.